Today it's just me, and I'm talking about the 10 secret ingredients to unit planning.
That's right.
Do you plan? Do you plan for the big picture in mind? Do you spend time planning? These are questions I'm going to get into. And in the end, you're going to have my 10 secret ingredients to unit planning. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, today I'm talking about unit planning. And I can't stress enough how important planning is. Because after all, if we don't take time to figure out what it is we're going to do, we're not going to address the things that need to be addressed. We're going to kind of get stuck in just this little spot. We're not going to be able to move forward that well. We're going to think we accomplished a lot, but in the end, most probably not. So let's talk a little bit about this, because, you know, in order to understand where I'm going, we need to understand this, is that sometimes we run into people who say they don't need to plan. They just fly off the cuff. They just, you know, have a wing and a prayer and they take care of stuff, right? Well, that means they're staying just a few chapters ahead of the students or, you know, whatever. No matter what, they're convincing themselves, they're lying to themselves that what they're doing is actually effective. Come on. Yeah, you know you've run into somebody like that. Are you somebody like that? Because planning is essential. Now, it's not about making sure that, you know, the administrator is happy because you have your unit plans. It's not about doing it exactly the way that some computer program has it. It's about understanding that it is important for you to plan. When I talk about this, it makes me think about, just some different worlds that I've been in. Like, for example, I'm a former Boy Scout troop scoutmaster. Right. I'm in charge of the troop. And having been in Boy Scouts, working with the kids, my own sons, and putting together activities and such, you need to understand a little bit about what the purpose of Boy Scouts is. One, it's to get the kids into the outdoors, into doing more and more things on their own, all right? They have different badges that they earn as they move up the ranks and they attempt different activities on their own. That's one of the major points of Boy Scouts, is to get the kids doing things on their own, kind of weaning them away. And that's where the camping comes in, because the idea behind the scout campouts is that you get the kids involved in the organizing and planning of the event and then actually making it happen, so that the adults are there to guide, make sure nobody gets hurt, lost, you know, attacked by a bear, that type of thing. But at the same time, helping them figure out what it is that they've got to do, learning how to plan, learning how to get others involved, delegating responsibilities and such, so that the leadership opportunities are there to make something happen, a big event happen. Well, you can only guess that when you're working with 9 through 17, 18 year olds, that you're going to have from time to time those oops, those oops that happen. That's right. Things go awry. And part of it is because as you're working with the scouts in learning how to plan, oftentimes they meant well, but they don't follow through. And you end up with major issues happening where we have to figure out how to get through this. So, for example, I remember one particular scouting event where basically, as they coordinated, you know, usually you have somebody who as the scout leader, the kid who's in charge, one of the things you do is you identify the other scouts that are going to be in charge of different aspects of the journey, of the trip. And in this case, one of the things that you do is you identify a couple that are going to be in charge of the food for the entire weekend. Now, this sounds easy enough, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? Think about your own planning for your own meals and stuff like that, just in your own house. Because keep in mind, we're going to the woods. We're going someplace where we're going to be using camp stoves and fire and stuff like this. And what you find out is that oftentimes there's going to be something forgotten. Well, in this case, one of the things that happened was they had this great plan, but nobody picked up the lunch meat. Yeah. You know, that was interesting. There's other things that happen along the way, but you know, typically because as they're learning that it's important to plan, they forget the most important aspect of planning, that's carrying out the plan. and lessons ensue. So a big part about Boy Scouts is teaching kids the importance of planning. Well, I want to bring that forward, and I want to say, if it's important for 9 through 18-year-olds, you know it's important for adults, right? Because like in the Boy Scouts, one of the things that you have to do is you have to plan to help the kids learn how to plan. You know, so the adults are focused on helping them make the plan happen and helping them learn how to plan. So that takes planning also. So what about your classroom? You do understand that you can't just open a book and make it happen, because then something unexpected is going to happen that you didn't think about, and you're not going to be prepared for dealing with it. So it's so important to recognize that you've got to focus on planning, because the better you plan, the better able you're to take advantage of those unique situations that happen along the way. Whether it's that the kids are struggling with something and you realize you got to take a detour, or whether it's that the kids start really getting it and so you have to just push forward, or you kind of stop for a little bit and you focus on the unique aspect of the learning that took place because it's so cool that you got to spend more time on it. Well, if you're not planning, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And as a former history teacher, one of the biggest problems about not planning there is that history, there's a lot of it. A lot of it, yes. As in many other content areas. So let's talk about 10 secret ingredients to unit planning. First, let's make sure you understand what unit planning is, because there's two types of planning that you really need to be doing. There's the unit plan, which is the big picture plan. That's, you know, you're going to have multiple weeks. You're going to say, I have the content from this topic from this week, in this day in the week, to this day in another week. And you're going to actually create some time frames. We'll talk about that more in a minute. That's big picture planning, all right? This is the unit planning, the whole unit. And then there's daily planning, the stuff that you do that's going to become very flexible because it's going to change as you encounter what the kids do, what the kids start understanding, or what the kids don't understand. So with that being said, we're focusing today on the unit plan. We'll come back another time and we'll talk about daily planning. And it's so important for you to recognize that you're not doing this because an administrator said you've got to. Oh, please don't talk like that. Even if they have some requirement that it's due, you know, by midnight on the Saturday before the week you're going to implement it, and that you have to have 3 different colors and you must use these serious fonts and whatever, yada, yada, yada. It's important to understand that planning is essential, all right? And it takes time. Planning takes time. You're working with children. You got to put your plan in operation. All right. So with that being said, I have my 10 secret ingredients to unit planning. And the number one secret ingredient to all unit planning is start with the end in mind. You get what I'm talking about, right? You start thinking about where it is you're trying to take them. Yes. Oh my gosh, that is very, very important. Because if you do not start this way, then you don't know where you're going. And if you don't know where you're going, are you ever going to get somewhere? Now there's a thought. So number one, start with the end in mind. Know what it is that you're trying to accomplish. This is where your standards come into play. You have to understand where they're taking you. All right. Number two, create a time frame. So if this is where I'm trying to go, how long is it going to take me to get there? And you have to actually look at a calendar. You have to plan it out in the number of days. Now, you're going to be flexible in here because there are things that happen along the journey to grandmother's house. You know, like you encounter a wolf here or there or a little leprechaun, whatever. But the point is that you have to create the time frame. How long is it going to take you to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished in this unit, however long it's going to be? So let's say it's 2 weeks to 3 weeks. So let's give it 10 days, all right? And somebody going, I don't have 10 days. All right, we'll say 5 days. But the big point here is unit planning is what we're talking about here, all right? So this is a big picture. So what we're really talking about is probably a 10 to 12-day time frame, all right? So number one, you start with the end in mind. Number two, you create a time frame so that you kind of tweak it a little bit here and there, and you know where you're trying to get to, how long you've actually got to cover this. Because if you don't spend time like that, you're going to just ramble on forever, or you're going to run into a lot of trouble because you don't have time to do it. Number three, identify what you will teach, the content. All right, so if this is the unit and this is where I'm going, what is that content that I got to make sure that I teach along the way? You know what I'm talking about. Not everything is important. Not everything is essential. You've got to identify those key components of the content that you've got to make sure are a big part of your learning sessions. All right, so we're moving right along. So number four of my 10 secret ingredients to unit planning, develop how you will teach, your instructional strategies, because you don't want to come in and do the same thing every day. If you do that, what starts happening is you lose the kids. You cannot have the same thing happen every time, every point in the day that it happened the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. You know, it reminds me of a history class where by the end of that term, I so remember the gap between his two front teeth because he did the same thing every day. And you saw that gap get wider and wider and wider. Yeah, you get where I'm going, right? So you got to develop how you will teach, those instructional strategies. That takes time to plan, because the more intricate they are, the better the strategy. It takes time, and it usually takes resources, but I'm jumping ahead of myself. So you have to figure out those strategies you're going to use. And by the way, lecture and or direct instruction, whatever you want to call it, has its place. It's just that you don't want to do it every day at the same time, right? Nor for long periods of time. So you want to develop how you will teach. You know, identify those instructional strategies you will use. So number five of my 10 secret ingredients to unit planning is identify resources you will need. That's right, because along the way, there's things that you're going to want to have, whether it's to help make a point. You know, like in a math class, having those things that make whatever abstract concept you're talking about come alive. Within the history class, having some artifact, having some simulation that you're going to do. English, science, whatever the content area, agriculture, you know, working on car engines, whatever it is, you're going to want to identify the resources you're going to need so that you get them ahead of time. This is all part of the planning process. If you go back to my Boy Scout story, that's usually the number one thing that they would forget. All right, when we go on this camping trip and we were going to have spaghetti, did anyone bring the pasta? Really? How about the ladles? How about the spoons? How about the drainers? That was always a fun one. The strainers for the noodles. You know, you put that, after you boil the noodles, you put them inside the strainer and, nobody brought one of those. Nice. So you got to identify those resources you will need. So my 10 secret ingredients to unit planning are I'm going to go through the top five again. Number one, start with the end in mind. Number two, create a time frame. Number three, identify what you will teach, the content. Number four, develop how you will teach instructional strategies. Number five, identify resources you will need. All right, so there's five of my 10. Number six, identify essential vocabulary. This is important because there's going to be words that you're going to use, and kids do not pick up words simply because you wish that they would, or that you think that because you use those words and you say them in front of them that they mysteriously, magically remember and will start using them. No, there are strategies that you should use, and a valuable resource for this is you need to pick up a copy of Laura Robb's book, Vocabulary is Comprehension. She has what she calls her Big Ten in there, and they are lesson plans about how to incorporate vocabulary appropriately into your lessons. By the way, I get no remuneration for mentioning Laura Robb's book. It's just an important, easy-to-use tool, and I encourage you to find it. It's cheap. It's not expensive. She's been teaching for over 46 years. And she still writes. She writes an incredible number of books. She still teaches in the middle school classroom. Great stuff. So once again, number six is identify essential vocabulary. And essential means essential, not 40 words. There's 40 means you don't know how to identify essential. Narrow it down. What are those key words, those main words that they've got to know? And there are awesome resources for doing this. If you check out her book, that's one of the places you can look on Pinterest. I can link you to my, and in the show notes, I'll have it, to my vocabulary board where you can find, and my word wall board, where you'll find different ways that teachers use different tools to help appropriately work with words and help the kids learn the key and essential words for the vocab for that unit. All right? So, number six, identify essential vocabulary. Number seven, develop how you will teach. How you will teach the vocabulary. All right? So not only do you identify the essential vocabulary, but you've got to know how you will teach that vocabulary. And that's part of getting that book by Laura Robb. All right? Once again, I don't get paid for that. This is not a paid advertisement. There are lots of other resources. And I'll link you to my in the show notes, I'll link you to my Pinterest board so you can see some of those other really awesome tools. Number eight is create opportunities for learning what the students know and don't know. So I want you to think about this. This is where formative assessment comes into play. Checking for understanding. You know, that stopping to figure out, are they following me? Are they getting it? All right? So you've got to create in your plans opportunities for learning what the students know and don't know. And that's where I want to talk about somebody like me. As a kid, I was very quiet, and I still am. Now, there are some of my friends that go, you? Yeah, me. All right. And I did a great job of playing a game with my teachers. If I sit over near the wall, not too far to the back, not too far to the front, kind of in the middle and over towards your, you know, if you're facing the class, I'm to your far left. All right. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to take notes. I'm going to do my work. I'm not going to let my friends talk to me. I'm going to at least appear like I am totally on the same planet with you. Now, this is all part of a game because I don't want you to call me to the board because I'm afraid that if I make a mistake in front of my class, there's going to be issues. I don't want to look dumb. I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I'm a good kid. I don't get in trouble. I do my homework. I turn it in on time. And I tried my hardest to make sure I didn't get called to the board or didn't get called on to answer a question. So I'm not going to volunteer. Now, because I'm a good kid, because I'm quiet, because I do all those things, I disappear into the woodwork. And when I disappear into the woodwork, that means that if you're not having something in your plan that you've created that will find out whether all of your kids are following you or not, you're going to miss out on knowing whether kids like Steve are really in touch with what you're talking about or not. You're going to miss out on a chance to figure out ahead of other types of assessments, of a summative assessment, before there's a grade required. Because remember, formative assessment, no grade. You're going to miss out on this. And what's going to happen is that it's quite possible that Steve really doesn't have a clue what you're talking about. But he's just a good kid, and you let him slide until his grade shows that he didn't get what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have some Steves in your classes? I'll bet you do. And that's why my number eight out of my top 10 secret ingredients to unit planning is create opportunities for learning what the students know and don't know. So once again, my number six secret ingredient was identify essential vocabulary. My number seven secret ingredient was develop how you will teach the vocabulary. That's where you've got to find those developmentally appropriate ways of teaching vocabulary. All right, because there's so many ways that are not, like memorizing the words, like putting word lists up. That word lists are different than word walls. That's another time, but you take a look at those links to the interactive word walls that I have in my Pinterest, and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, so so if we've got identify essential vocabulary, develop how you will teach the vocabulary, and create opportunities for learning what the students know and don't know. Number nine secret ingredient to good unit planning is make notes about student individual needs. Let's go back to Steve again. If you know that Steve has this ability to disappear into the woodwork, well, maybe on your unit plan, you make a note in the side era that to make sure that in your daily planning, you are doing something to get Steve involved, to make sure that you're checking to see if Steve is following along. In this world that we have today, we use stickies very well with this because stickies don't require a kid to answer out loud. They can put their name on it and you can know specifically. The use of mini whiteboards. Nobody else has to know whether I got it wrong or right, but you will. You know, there's so many different ways that you can work with a student like Steve and check for understanding using formative assessment. But if you don't put notes on your plans about those specific students and their needs, will it get addressed? What do you think? Or is it quite possible that you'll get all focused on whatever grabs your attention at the moment and totally forget about Steve? I can tell you that it was my experience as a student that that's how I could easily disappear in the woodwork. And I was good at it. And I'll bet you got kids who do the same. All right. So I've got my 10 secret ingredients to unit planning. Now, I haven't gone to number 10 yet. I'm getting there. But number one was start with the end in mind. Number two, create a time frame. Number three, identify what you will teach, the content. Number four, develop how you will teach. These are the instructional strategies. Number five, identify resources you will need. Otherwise, you end up like the Boy Scouts without the baloney. Identify essential vocabulary. Develop how you will teach the vocabulary. Number eight, create opportunities for learning what the students know and don't know. Number nine, make notes about student individual needs. And number 10, number 10, create a system for identifying what can be eliminated to make more space or more time. You know, when there's some things you want to identify from the beginning when you're unit planning that can be eliminated if you need to find more time. You're always going to need something like that. So you want to go through when you're unit planning, and after you've put it all down in paper or in electronic form, go back and say, now, if I need to eliminate something, what can I take out that really I could cover another way or shorten or something like this so I could find more time for these very, very important aspects of this unit. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I hope that you recognize that planning, especially unit planning, is very, very important. All right. You can't just can't wing it. All right. It is so important to take time. And I just gave you my 10 secret ingredients to good unit planning. Hope it gave you food for thought. Thanks for listening. Enjoy. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators. Podcast by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.